Conscious Living and Power Radio. Hello. Happy spring. And when this podcast runs in the dead of winter and it's snowing, which actually it is in some parts right now, given our climate change, we're having all sorts of wonderful weather anomalies. But okay, so if it's actually really in the middle of winter when it's not supposed to be springy, and I say happy spring, you'll feel good because spring just does that. It's just amazing how it works. I want to do something a little different today. And the reason I do is because this is the experiences that one of them that I had that really drove home that my world had changed. And it was after the night lights started communicating and I drove to Sedona. At one point, I thought we were kind of contemplating, do I want to relocate? Do I want to live somewhere else? And the option at that point was Sedona. So I stayed in a wonderful little place in the village of Oak Creek, Canyon Mesa. They called it a casita. It's like a condo. At that time, I noticed things were happening. This was before I really had any background, any knowledge, I've read so many books, hundreds since then, that there are a lot more factors that now I can identify and say, oh my gosh, this is why this was happening. And this made a lot of sense. And when people say they've had a Kundalini awakening or they've had some kind of a shift, metaphysical shift is the way I describe mine, because at the time it didn't have the hallmarks of a Kundalini thing. Because from what I had heard, people went into, complete and total out of control types of responses where they would be debilitated and, they couldn't work, they couldn't focus, they couldn't function. And that to me was the Kundalini awakening. Well, mine was a different functioning. I could function, but I was having all of these paranormal things going on at the same time. And I didn't realize that I was connecting at a different level and seeing things that were happening in, for what we might say, in parallel dimensions, on a different plane. And that was at the time incredibly, for me, fascinating. I was just, wow, blown away with things that I didn't realize were, happening at the time all around me. So this was the first experience of connecting with both animal and non-corporeal physical ghosts, that kind of thing. When I stayed overnight, and I had done a trip earlier to this same area with a friend, and at that point we stayed in the same place that we had visited with my husband earlier. And when we went there, I took the nightlight to see that it would work. I wrote about that a little bit in the book, Talking to Night Lights, just taking the light with me to see if it was just one area where it would work. And it was constant. Wherever I went, the night light would be interactive and blink on and blink off and flash. So it was the energy of my space, the energy of whatever this was, that was, it didn't matter where I was. It was constant, and it still is. So that was one of the things I could count on that made it clear to me that I had changed, that something else was happening in my life that gave me a different focus, a different point of view, a different frame of reference. And with that, so I knew the nightlight was going to be interactive. So I took it here, stayed for 3 months, like I said. And I worked part-time at a station, a radio station. And of course, not knowing exactly where I was going to go from there, this was a very crucial time trying to figure out what the heck to do with this new way of being, this new connection with reality, and no drugs involved, just a plain old reality shift with ghosts and paranormal stuff. So the things that happened, the TV would come on by itself or turn off by itself. Now, it had happened to me before, and when that happened earlier, maybe 5 or 6 years earlier, just attributed it to the fact that the button on the television was going out. It had worn out, and so that was what was going on with that. There was probably more to it than that, but at the time, that made sense. And sometimes with the electrical things like this, it will cause malfunctions. It will cause equipment to deteriorate or to blink out or on. It will drain the energy of batteries. And when it gets very intense, then things will start breaking. But with this, it was, I knew something was there. So I thought at that point, okay, it's the ghost of the space. Something is here with me. And that was one of the clues I had. I also, at that point, I had taken my cats with me, and they didn't seem to be bothered by any of this activity, which was, for me, comforting. I remember the cats did watch occasionally. They would be in the same room and watch the nightlight blink on and off and go, and Rowdy, one of my cats, would go sit and just park himself in front of it and just sit there. And the nightlight, the energy, the beings would say that this was comforting, that they could connect with the animals as well in a different way, but they were also communicating, connecting, engaging with that non-corporeal form. Consciousness is what it is. And we're not used to dealing on that level. Not, I mean, some people are, yes, but for the most part, that isn't something that I was brought up to acknowledge as a day-to-day kind of engagement. It was for special people who had special talents, special gifts, special abilities, and anybody else who had that was probably imagining or just borderline not functioning and insane. I don't know if that's the correct way of saying it. Now there's a movie out, so that'll take it in a whole different direction. Anyway, but it was one of those things where when this started happening, I had to reformat my hard drive. I had to figure out, how am I going to integrate this? How am I going to, in some way, give it a context, a meaning, because it's all brand new. And when I wrote the book, it was still a very uncommon thing to talk about. And now it's exploded. This whole, a lot of it's new age, a lot of it's paranormal, a lot of it would be spirituality, energy work, all of that. It's all this big, huge category of stuff that we have so much more access to and so much more to compare notes with. And I would suggest, if you're just getting into this now, do that. Read, research, talk to people, listen to shows, just do your own due diligence of finding out what resonates for you, what sounds right, what sounds possible, why would it work, and how does it work for you? Everybody is different, and each and every medium I've talked to has a different way of approaching this. And some who say they're certified, which means they've gone through some kind of a program or routine and can get answers on a regular basis for the most part, have a different way of looking at things than somebody who just does it because that's what they were able to do when they were seven and they didn't have to go to a school or any kind of organization to get credentialed. So this is still, you know, there's a whole lot of, I guess, in some way, shape or form, disconnect with all of these abilities in terms of putting it into the mainstream. So trying to give it some kind of credibility, somebody will apply a certification, a designation of, yes, you are authentic. Okay. You can be authentic without having the certification. And there, you will run into people who are extraordinary and gifted and very adept at doing whatever it is that they're doing with the metaphysical elements and connections, contacts that they have. One of the guys that I talked about before in another interview was the PK man, Ted Owens. This guy had a lot of abilities and was extraordinary in the way that he used his psychic energy, PK energy, and could work with lightning, work with other elements, weather elements, things like that. That also, Rolling Thunder, Native American man, was very gifted at working with those weather elements. And you run into people like that, and they are legit. They can actually do what they say and what they believe, what they have learned, and how they do it, everyone is different. The other person who works with energy, I've talked with Ed Edwards, and he is, you know, he has a special name for his talents and his abilities, and he's being studied and researched by all the right organizations to see what he can do. But he isn't the first, he won't be the last. There's so much about this stuff that we are still beginning to connect to. Today, I wanted to share a piece of audio that I did 20 years ago when I went to Sedona and spent those 3 months, because at the time, these things were all brand new, and I wasn't sure if I could get any kind of proof. And even now, you know, this is this thing of, is it real? What did I remember? What did I imagine? And to set it up, I was working, like I said, at a radio station part-time and driving this little route between, which no longer they've redone the highways there. So the road is different now, but at that time it was a two lane and you would drive along like in a little windy road that went between the village of Oak Creek over to Sedona. And what I was doing, I was hearing on the way to work, I hear this little tap and it sounded like it was somebody with a fingernail tapping on the back of the windshield or on the somewhere in the back of the car, back corner, like a box or something. But I could hear this little tap, tap, tap. Let me see if I can make it sound like this. Tapping on the keyboard. Okay. So that's what I was hearing, something like that. And I thought one day, well, you know what? What if I could get this? I wonder if I could record it, because then I could say, this is what I'm hearing. And for me, it's just another way to say, I'm not making it up. I'm hearing it. It's out loud. It makes no sense and it shouldn't be happening. Now, the reason I did that was because at night in the bedroom by myself, I would hear a tap. And at first I'm thinking this isn't good. So I cleanse the space. I sit down and did a little, you know, a routine. Okay, this isn't something I'm ready for. You know, back off, let's clear a space and be quiet. And the reason I did that was because I heard the tap and it's waking me up and I'm listening and then I hear it again. And I realize in the next several minutes, it's sequential. It starts with one, tap, two, tap, tap, three, tap, 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 four, tap, 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 five. I'm like, wait a second. This is intentional. This isn't an accident. It isn't water dripping. It isn't something, you know, a bird, some goofy thing outside on the window, the porch or something. It's coming and it was from a picture on the wall and this little tapping sound. So I knew that that was ongoing and whatever it was, that was a signal. And a signature activity was the tapping. And it's really funny because some of the people I have dealt with, old school, one of the ladies who was very good at name it and claim it, Helen Hansel, her identity was a tap, tap, key 88, something like that. Okay, it's close, but it's that was one of the, that was her signature. She's deceased. So, but she was, there are several people that I have dealt with along the way since then where this tapping is a part of it. And I had a girlfriend in college who told me she thought she was imagining it. And she finally gave a picture away that she had in her house, which I didn't connect the dots until later. And this had happened about 20 years earlier. She said she gave it away because it kept tapping. She kept hearing the picture tap, tap. And I thought, oh, if I had only known that this isn't as unusual as I thought it was. So anyway, so that's the setup. So in the car, I get this tapping. And it had calmed down after I said, okay, you know, cleared my space and said, only if this is for my highest good, will it continue? Well, then it relocated to the car. Okay. And afterwards, I know this because at that time, there was so much of this stuff happening. I didn't know what the dots were and how they connected. I was also hearing things from the animals and going to the vortexes and spending time there. And the energy was just absolutely amazing. You know, the connections and the guardians of the space and connecting with that old intelligent consciousness that just doesn't happen to have a corporeal form. So on the way, there's tap, 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 you know, in the car, and it's tap, 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 tap. And then I get a message one morning that I needed to avoid the water in the road. I'm on my way to work and it says drive around the puddle, drive around the water. So I drive around the water. There is water in my, fortunately, there's nobody coming from the opposite direction because it's probably 4:30 or so in the morning, 4:30 or 5, something around there. And so I drive around this puddle. It's at the base of what looks like a small cliff, a small area on the side of the road that just, you know, normal, just a puddle. And when I get to work, within a half hour, 45 minutes, I'm announcing the accident that has now shut the highway down and causing a big traffic jam because, like I said, there's only two lanes at that point. Because what was under the puddle was washed out road and you couldn't see it. And that's why you never drive through high water. Don't drive through high water. You don't know what's under there. I remember my brother telling me that he was going to drive, that the only reason they didn't take this particular road is because they looked to see how high it was on the fence line and thought, well, it's too deep because it's that high on the fence line. We know the road is a little lower than that. Well, yeah, but you don't know what isn't there when the road has been washed out. And I was just really glad that I listened to the advice. So I had connections. I had other contacts, and these to me are spirit guides who've stepped in on several occasions. So part of that has to do with listening to this other, in addition to the energy, other connection that has been with me for my entire life, helping to guide me through some of these experiences. In the car, since I was hearing the tapping, I put in a cassette. And as I'm driving to work, I have edited this down a whole lot, but I just ran it from the time that I got there. It's probably a 20 minute ride from where I was staying to the radio station. And so I'm listening for the tapping. And this particular day, of course, there's no noise. It isn't tapping. So the tape is running and I'm listening, trying to hear it. And you'll hear me because I'm saying this, there's no tapping. It, for whatever reason today, it's not cooperating. So my producer, Nate, he's in the studio. Nate, go ahead, and if you've got the audio there, go ahead and let that play.
Okay, no tapping. I listened. Wasn't there. At least not the way that it usually is.
It's on the tape. As I'm saying, it's not there. I heard absolutely nothing. And the tape, it's loud enough. It could have been on the window right beside me. And that is what absolutely blew me away. And you'll hear the entire tape where you can hear that car noise in the background. The car is, you know, rolling along, no action, no activity. And I thought for sure, well, you know, it's just not going to let me tape it. I won't be able to get the tapping because it won't let me record it. And then when I heard it, I was just, because I thought I was listening to an empty tape. When I went back to listen to the cassette, old school, I had to figure out how to dub this off into an MP3. Anyway, that was an incredible, for me, connection that gave me proof that what I was experiencing could be in some way, shape, or form heard, even if no one else around me picked up on it. And the odd thing was that I was able to hear on a regular basis, the sound. And yet the day that I decided to put this in and record it, I couldn't hear a thing. I heard no tapping. And usually it would just that like that sound, you could hear it. It would come from the back of the car. So this, the way the placement of this was, it was like it was right up there beside me and that I should have heard it. And there's no way. And that is mind-boggling. Because what it also indicates is that a lot of people who report these experiences, they are experiencing something legit, something real, something tangible, something concrete, but not on this plane. So people around them who are saying, well, okay, yeah, you're a nice person, but you're really, really questionable in terms of your reality. I don't know what's going on with you, but it certainly isn't normal. And yet it is normal. It's just a different kind of normal, a different awareness. And so that for me helped give me a better appreciation for when people tell me their stories and share their experiences and share their encounters, that they are in some way, shape, or form connecting to a different window of reality than somebody else. And the other thing, too, is since it did not register in my hearing, if someone else in the car were with me, they would have just considered me to be completely and totally off the wall. Absolutely nuts. Because I would have insisted that this was there. And yet there was nothing there. And I wouldn't have been running the recorder. I wouldn't have been taping it. But because I had at that point decided, let me see, I'm just going to play and see if this will record. And then I didn't think I got, I thought, well, that was a fruitless effort. And again, this is 20 years ago. This is, I believe, in 1998, right before I came back and started working again in a Kansas City radio. Because at that point, I decided that whatever I was doing, I was connected. And it didn't matter where I was at. It was louder for me in Sedona. And the energy there was incredibly supportive, incredibly amplified. Because that's when the animals, I went and sat at the pool by myself, in the middle of the day by myself. And at some point, there was a frog, a toad, got into the pool, and there's no way for the toad to get out. And so I'm in the pool and trying to rescue the toad, and the toad's swimming away from me as fast as he possibly can. Oh no, giant in the pool. Even though he's going to die because there's no way out, he's going to drown. And I grabbed it, I get him and put him up on the, I sit beside him, at the edge of the pool. And he stays there. He doesn't hop off. He stays there. He's about within 3 feet of me. I'm just kind of sitting there watching him, looking, making sure he's okay. And he doesn't seem to be too waterlogged. He's fine. He just sat there, kind of, looked very, the look in his eye was, he was curious. And his eyes are open. He's not blinking. And so I'm sending a message telepathically thinking, well, okay, maybe he's something to say. And so I ask, is there a lesson in this? Is there a lesson? Is there something that you would like to tell me? And I got this wonderful little message that when you find yourself in, and you know, I can't remember if it's a word, a catastrophe or something like that, of your own making, a problem, you know, of your own making, don't be afraid to accept help from unconventional sources. So there you go. You know, here's this giant, and the frog and the toad has no idea whether the giant's going to be nice and have empathy or compassion or, you know, anything like that. He's just on the, just in case, he's making a run for it. But that's mirrors us in our own, our growth, our own awareness, our own evolution, because right now there are tremendous changes happening, and they're happening in realms and dimensions and planes that we are not conversant. We are not able to dialogue, to share, to map, to, because it's brand new on so many levels. It's brand new with the way the energy is amping up right now. But there's more stuff happening and more doors, more windows, more trapdoors, wormholes, all this stuff that's happening right now. So even if you maybe before didn't have a lot of awareness with this stuff, then right now you might be having experiences that before wouldn't have happened. And you'll be able to connect the dots and say, aha, these people might be onto something. There may be more going on here than we are able to see, hear, sense in a physical way. But that metaphysical element that people who practice these types of energy exercises talk about are beginning to manifest on a greater plane of awareness. And we are expanding that PSI ability, our psychic sense. And that's what I see happening. I see it happening in the way that more people are talking about it. More people are saying, here, work with your intuition. Here's how you can see ghosts. Here, this is how you can work on your consciousness. You can have out-of-body experiences. Here, you can do remote viewing. So many teachers, not just students and not just one person saying, oh, see, I did this. Many multitudes, hundreds of books, not just 5 or 10. That is exciting. And that is empowering. Okay, well, it didn't stop there. So when we come back, we'll talk about some of the other stuff that the doors open to after the experience with the tapping in Sedona.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over 1 million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Would your business survive a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. The other thing I wanted to get into, I'll get to the metaphysical stuff too, but the thing is, thoughts are things. And the more you realize that you are in some way, shape, or form broadcasting your reality, broadcasting your state of mind, the more you realize you need to keep a very good grip on your state of mind and what it might be broadcasting. The guides told me years ago that as we would go through the coming earth changes, that we would experience more quickly, manifesting and understanding what that might mean. So as a wonderful little exercise in manifesting things that you are not aware of, Kopi Jos. I don't know if that's the way it's pronounced. It's coffee made a specific way. They friended me on Twitter, probably because I say Wendy's Coffee House, okay? They don't know that I'm not the actual full-blown coffee house. I'm just Wendy who has a coffee house attitude. Yeah. Okay. The deal is, it's made a very special way. And what they do with this coffee, it has a little lump of coal in it that adds that lovely extra touch. And so they say it has a caramely burnt sugar taste. And so the coffee with that, and it's Indonesian. Okay. They call it charcoal coffee. So if you want to, you know, the definition, charcoal coffee. So I'm talking about this. And as I'm talking about it, not even putting the two things together, I get this dry sensation at the back of my throat. And I start feeling like I'm going to start coughing. And my eyes are tearing up, and I'm trying to keep doing this because I'm doing an interview at that point, trying to keep doing this without losing it. And finally I shut the mic off. So there's a little bit of dead air, which I know they can edit that out. But only later I realize, okay, there are a lot of heavy duty spirits all over the world, and maybe Indonesia, they're having a joke at my expense, but there's also a ghost in the studio. There's a whole lot of energy that might be playing into this. And then of course it's Mercury retrograde. So all bets are off. Anything's possible. But what I was doing was talking about what it might be like to experience drinking this kind of coffee. And the people, it's something that's apparently a health benefit, and people are mimicking this, and it's supposed to help you with stomach upset. Now, who knows? It's a really novel idea. And as I'm talking about it, though, and feeling my throat just completely dry up, and I'm going to cough, figuring it's probably because I am totally unaware and ignorant about the benefits of the coffee, and making too much, you know, making light of it, and at the same time experiencing something that might be related to what would happen if you were unfamiliar with drinking that kind of coffee, and then all of a sudden, you know, it caught you. So things like that, manifesting thoughts, experiencing reality change as you are speaking. Along with the metaphysical stuff, I was able to see benefits with my health, turning things around, not being, not having to be sick, because if I knew it was coming on, I could shift my energy and redirect it. And one of the times that I had to redirect it was when I was bitten by a brown recluse spider. And went to the doctor to make sure that it was. The first doctor I went to said, oh, no, 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 no. And as it continued to get worse and manifest a nice, big, huge eruption on the inside of my knee, that looks like what happens is the reaction to that spider bite is the body there at that point goes into necrosis because it's eating your body from the inside out. And it's dissolving the tissue and the skin and all that, creating this wonderful a base for the spider, you know, so that's, and it's no fun, and it can be extremely, for some people, they have a very severe reaction to it. You can lose a limb, you know, but at the same time, I knew what it was. Once I had that confirmation, then I shut down. I stopped. I was less active because I didn't want that toxin to spread throughout my body, which sometimes with that particular, at least at the time, the way that the people that I knew had been, also there were three other people that were bitten at the same time, all in different places, coincidentally enough. It was just at the same time, and I was aware of it. I thought it was interesting. One went and had a plastic surgeon, who I did visit, a plastic surgeon as well, and what they did was they put a steroid all around it to circle it so that it didn't travel anywhere else, because this thing can travel and it can reoccur in your system because it's systemic. And that was one thing I was aware of. So I knew I didn't want to exercise or do too much activity so that it wouldn't continue to get worse. I would shut it down. I also got a way to remove the toxin, which involved a charcoal, interestingly enough, a poultice, which pulled some of that venom back out. Instead of letting it go through the entire system, it pulled it back out. Since then, I have a different way to treat spider bites, but that was my learning with that, and knowing what I needed to do and how I needed to change. I was able to do a detox and get the sugar out of my body quickly so that it wouldn't have that to make the body more alkaline instead of acidic. Those are the ways I did it. I won't tell you all the details because it's going to be different for each and every person. But as a result of listening to my guides and listening to the procedure, which involved making peace with a spider, I had this extraordinary vision. And the vision at the time was I was in a room with this giant spider the spider as big as the room. And in this vision, because I'm half awake and half asleep and fully conscious, I have in my hand an egg about the size of a basketball. And the spider is looking at me. And telepathically, I am connecting to this spider. And this is all stuff that I was not familiar with. It's a shamanic experience that I just went into without any preparation, any training. I just find myself in this state connecting with a spider. And I said, this is your egg. You need your egg back. I had no animosity. I had no sense of fear, no sense of anger. I just knew that it wasn't mine. And I have this egg that belonged to her in my hands, and I give it back to her. And the vision ends. And I hear telepathically, you will have no more issues with spider. And I said, why? And it was because you didn't make an enemy. I thought, oh, you know, so this is the stuff that for me is now real. And it's now a part of my experience. And it healed, and it now just looks like it was a bruise. It doesn't have, sometimes they'll have a big pit, sometimes they'll have a huge bruise. One guy I saw had the bruise all over the back of his calf. It looks like a bruise, it's a scar. And those kinds of things, one guy was hospitalized for about 3 weeks. He was a construction worker, and he had continued to, because of being a construction worker, continued to exercise. So it spread throughout his system into the muscles. And so these things can be, everybody has a different experience. But these things can be dealt with at different levels than we are used to working on. And your thoughts change as a result. So as a result of having that experience, I am aware that on some level, I can deal with an issue that isn't apparent on the superficial plane. This was a choice of how I was going to deal with a creature or an animal or an encounter that for me was negative. Nobody wants to be bitten by a spider. Nobody wants to have to go through all that stuff. It made me feel like I had the flu. It made me feel I was weak. And a year later, I felt little tingles in the spot where that spider bite had been. A year later, knowing that, aha, that means that venom, that toxin is still sleeping in my system, and I need to continue to work on staying, you know, doing a cleanse and avoiding certain types of foods and belief systems that will cause more dis-ease. That was a result of working with the animals and hearing the guidance from the toad and other animals. There was a lizard I also connected with at a vortex. And the reason I'm talking about this is so that if you have an experience like this, or you know someone else who tells you about an experience like this, you might have more awareness and appreciation that we each have different ways of dealing with our reality. None are better or worse. They're just different. And there may be an unconventional solution to problems you might be facing. So I learned through these kinds of experiences that our reality is multidimensional, and that we deal on multidimensional planes. And when I get distracted, and when I get tired, when I get anxious, I get excited, I'm not grounded. And so I might make mistakes. I might be more inclined to, in some way, shape, or form, deviate from what I have always considered to be a normal routine. Explaining that, I'll be having a conversation, and I might say a word that I thought was out loud, but it wasn't out loud. I have to remember sometimes to say something out loud, because I'm thinking it so loud that I thought it was said. That's confusing. Okay, especially to significant others who also have the same issues. Okay, but the cool thing about that is I'm interviewing Stephen Schwartz. His book, Awakening, is out now. He put it out in 2017. But it talks about this experience dealing with an ET, extraterrestrial, and learning to do the telepathic connect and then remembering that when you're with people, you have to actually say the words. But you can do both. You can have that telepathic connection, and you can have the language connection. Telepathic is a whole lot easier. You get rid of a lot of the dross. You get rid of a lot of the stuff that really doesn't have any purpose for being anyway, except making you continue to try and focus for hours on end, hoping they'll get to the point. Okay, except for the show. But that is coming up, okay? There's just those dots connect when you need them. And that's the other thing that I have been given from the guides, is that sometimes, because there is such a large volume of information that we can access on these other planes, intuitively, psychically, metaphysically, however, shamanically, however it works best for you, you don't need it until it's time. There's nowhere to put it. The brain doesn't have the capacity to store it. That's how much it is. And that's how incredibly extraordinary this time in our evolution is. We have the ability to basically skip a few steps and jump up a few grades and expand faster than we're ready. And part of that is happening at the same time we are discovering all of the benefits of artificial intelligence. Okay? And as we discover that, that's going to change our reality. It will make it more complicated, more complex on the physical level, and require more pre-programming, pre-planning than anybody ever thought would be necessary. But while that's happening, it's super, super urgent to get up to speed with telepathy and consciousness and how we work on those other planes, daytime, nighttime, in between, when we're out of body, when we're in the zone, working on finding a way through, between, around our problems and our challenges. Because this metaphysical component comes with the body. It's a wonderful asset that artificial intelligence does not have yet. But when I know my nightlights and my electronics and my machines can all be hijacked by a non-corporeal form, and I've witnessed it, and I experience it, then I know we are unprepared with what can eventually present itself with available forms of intelligent, designed beings. Because we're already talking about putting our consciousness, uploading our consciousness into a vessel. Now, personally, I'm not interested. But the problem is, there could also be a component in that might be hijacked in the process. And we're not smart enough to figure that one out yet. Because it is. It's a higher level of intelligence and awareness that already exists beyond us, that's contacting us right now from what some people would like to say another planet. Let's just say outer space. Outer. Extended. Other. Transdimensional. Space. Those beings are already here. And they're connecting with us, however we are able to sense them and to engage. And we're learning. So right now, this is an absolutely incredible opportunity to upgrade our consciousness, our knowing, our gifts. It comes with the package. Why haven't you opened it yet? Because we've got to practice to get better, to improve, to expand, to evolve. So when they talk about the shift, it's not just a planetary shift. It isn't a wake up and you're in 5D overnight all around. Yeah, that's what everybody is saying. There's more to it. It's an awareness upgrade. And it's happening as we go through all of our processes during the day of panic, of overreact, of war, of peace, of conflict. All this stuff is happening while in our consciousness as human beings, we are also evolving, shifting, changing, opening into incredibly different forms of embodied intelligence. So the animals that we are in on this planet, in this experience with, are part of that. And they can connect as well. And some of that involves us learning, for one, that it's possible and that we've already been doing it in some way, shape, or form without even realizing it. And knowing that if that's possible, there might be other things possible as well. And understanding that people who do practice and participate in shamanic rituals and routines and belief systems might be ahead of the game because they've already acknowledged the importance of non-human intelligence, intelligence that happens to travel in a different body form. And that's the opportunity we have right now to upgrade and learn. There's a difference when you make an investment in an animal. There's that unconditional element and that feeling that if you do something wrong or right, you're doing it with the best of intentions for the most part. Sometimes you're just doing it because you don't know any better, but with the best of intentions to try and help. And sometimes it's wrong. Then there's that's awful. It's difficult because with animals, you don't have the benefit of knowing that when you're apologizing, saying, I didn't know any better, it was the best I could do at the time. That's also part of the learning curve, because a lot of this that we are going through as a human species, it's the best we can do at the time, and we're evolving. And so there are going to be missteps. There are going to be mistakes. There are going to be epiphanies. And, oh, wow, we can do it this way. But we have to get from point A to point B. And so dealing with this non-corporeal awareness and dealing with these beings who are here and present and trying to get us to up our game and going tap, 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 tap. Is anybody home? Tap, tap, tap. When I heard that after re-listening to the tape, just curious as to what was going on and what happened, and maybe, just maybe, there was something there that I could use and I could work with, I was so relieved and euphoric because it helped me connect dots, dots that didn't exist. I'm listening and hearing this tap and hearing myself say, see, it wasn't there. I listened. It wasn't there. And when I said, at least in the way I'm usually accustomed to, a typical sequential tap, tap, tap. Usually in the car, it would be like a 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. But when it got my attention first on the picture frame, and I'm half awake, half asleep, and then counting the taps and realizing, oh, it went to a sequence of 5. Wow. So what else is going on here? So in 1998, when all this stuff was still fresh and new and I was still completely overwhelmed by the whole thing, I had a lifeline that said, keep searching, keep learning, keep growing, keep practicing, keep practicing. And I don't think as long as I'm alive that I'll stop practicing. I intend not to be a master of any kind because there's too much to learn, too much to explore, too much to know. Too much to get wrong before we get it right. And that's where we are challenged. I can't remember who it is. Darn it, darn it, darn it. Is it Feynman? Scientist Feynman, who says, we've got to hurry up and make all of our mistakes, get them out of the way quick so we can get up to speed. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he says. I think it's him. I probably put on a blog post somewhere and I can't find it at the moment, but that was the gist of it, is that that's what this is about here, is getting through the rough spots, the challenges, the speed bumps, over the hurdles, around the pitfalls, swinging through the trees. And that's, there's so much. There's more than one lifetime can possibly manage. So it's, where are my weaknesses? How can I improve those? Because once I get a handle on those and get a better understanding of where I'm more likely to go off track, off path, off the rails, when those things happen, then you are challenged to say, is this something I can address right now? Is there something I can deal with? And then you ask for help. Because those non-corporeal beings are around you. Your guides, your guardians, your angels, whatever word you have for spirit companions, are right beside you. Ask that it be for your highest good. Ask in your best interest. Ask with divine assist. Please, if there is something that it would be helpful for me to know, show me. What can I learn in a beneficial way for my highest good? And then you preface it with, in a positive form. Sometimes it helps to put that out there, that I can improve my awareness, that I can upgrade my knowing, my being, my presence. Help, please. And thank you for hearing me. And then it'll come. It'll come in the form that's best for you. The one that's appropriate, the one that you can see, hear, connect. Don't close the opportunities. Don't limit. Allow. And be surprised. Be surprised. Turn the tape recorder on. Turn whatever it is on in your mind to reveal the things that are hidden from plain view. The things that other people around you say, that's not real. No, it doesn't exist. It's okay. It's your deal. It's your deal. Let them be where they are, where they're comfortable, until they're ready to say, well, okay, so can you explain this to me? How does that work for you? It will be your thing, your knowing, your lifeline, your upgrade. It's happening right now. This is the moment we are shifting into higher awareness. And it's absolutely amazing. Just allow that it might not be what everybody else is saying, projecting, talking about. It might be something you have to experience for yourself in your own way. It might be private. But once you integrate that, it doesn't go away. It's yours. You can work with it. You can play with it. You can do cartwheels, loop-de-loops. You can have fun. You can relax. And you can enjoy the journey, knowing that a whole lot of stuff is here that we are not meant to connect. Those dots are for the next lifeline, the next lifetime, the next awareness, the next level. The cool thing is, they're there. So, now's the time to get up to speed. And listen for that tapping. Okay? It could happen at any time. And whether you hear it or not, you know there are connections to be made. And there's a whole lot of dots waiting for you to open your eyes and play along. Till next time, just keep those thoughts working, playing to your best advantage for the highest good in a way that you can see your results. See ya.